Good afternoon, Acadiana. Hot dog, a beautiful day out there. Teddy Sliman with you here in the air chair at Kane Radio, FM 107.5, still AM 1240. Thanks for tuning in to Kane Radio's Chip Shots, our golf talk show. Springtime's here and golf's kicking all over the countryside. In fact, here in Acadiana, we have two of the biggest tournaments going on this week. We'll talk more about the Raging Cajuns and their Louisiana Classics in this segment. And then this week kicks off the Chittimachi Louisiana Open, the only professional sporting event in Acadiana. So wrap your brain around that. We have no football, we have no basketball, we have no baseball. Golf is the only professional event that goes on in Acadiana. So I'd say go out and watch them, but you can't do that. COVID restrictions are preventing spectators from going out to the tournament. And I know they've relaxed a lot of them across the country, but Danny Jones, the tournament director at the Chittimachi Louisiana Open, said it was too late in the game for them to put in place all that they need to do to get spectators out on the golf course. So we'll just have to hear about it on the radio or television or whatever other means you have of that. All right, so let's get back to the important stuff, our sponsors. Want to thank the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Lafayette. They moved their office out of New Iberia, so now they're in Lafayette. But don't fret, you can still get Coke products throughout Acadiana, throughout New Iberia, and Iberia Parish. Thanks to Mr. Lee Tatford for sponsoring Coca-Cola. He is the CEO of Coke over there in Lafayette. And they not only sponsor Chip Shots, but all the sporting events that Kane Radio carries. So we thank Mr. Lee for that. Big supporter of UL Athletics as well. Our other title sponsor is GolfBalls.com, located on Arnold Boulevard right there in Lafayette. Of course, they are an international company supplying golf products over the internet globally. And you know they're a big company when you see them advertised on TV, national TV, not just local TV, national TV, expressively on the Golf Channel. But nonetheless, you can go into their showroom. They got a new simulator there where you can try out their new equipment, practice, hit balls, try out different golf clubs. And then you can shop and get one of well, it's the place to shop if you are local, because they have every golf product you can imagine right there in their showroom. Balls, gloves, tees, you know, all the staples for golf. And then even their soft goods, shirts and shorts and whatever. Hats, caps, visors, you name it, they have it. GolfBalls.com, Arnold Boulevard in Lafayette. We thank them for their sponsorship. And of course, our local golf clubs, Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, and Sugar Oaks. And also Franklin. They're not in our parish, but nonetheless, we since they're in our Pro-Am Association, we want to give them a few plugs. And so they've recently rescheduled their Franklin High fundraising golf tournament for baseball. So once again, the baseball players and supporters turn to golf to raise funds for their team. I think that's kind of ironic. Anyway, that's how great golf is. It's a game of a lifetime. It's a three-person scramble. It's going to be this Saturday. It's going to be March 20th. $50 per player, 8:30 shotgun start right there in Bellevue. Then their most recent dogfight, which they have on the first Saturday of the month. J.D. Mayfield was plus +5, tied for second. Todd Pate and Bobby McDonald plus +4. And then down at Eagle Ridge, not too much going on over there. They had a nice weekend, Gary Kidd. I visited with him briefly this morning. They're still pushing their Hole-in-One Club, 52 members now, $5 a month on your bill. Glenn Bienvenu was the last winner of that, the hole-in-one, which he made on number four last month, winning $2,400, hitting a wedge into the hole from 119 yards out, and then he had to go do the bar bill. That's what you do when you make a hole-in-one. It's a tradition. So it was only $61, his bar tab. And Gary was working the golf shop, and he says he's looking for help, but he's not looking real, real hard. He was tending the golf pro shop there. And then also at Eagle Ridge, they got a high school golf match coming up this Wednesday, March 17th, at St. Patrick's Day. So you're going to be wearing your green that day. Acadiana, Episcopal, Southside, Turlings, and Lafayette High will all compete at Eagle Ridge. And down at Sugar Oaks, thanks to Mr. Boyd Booty, the CEO and director of the Gator Golf Club, for getting me some results on the Gator Golf Club's perusing around the golf area of South Louisiana. Let's see. 2 weeks ago, they went to the Wetlands, and C.J. Woodley was the winner of that tournament, plus five. In the second flight, Coy Booty, Boyd's son, won the second flight. And then in the senior flight, Ted Sellers plus 7 won the senior flight. And then this past weekend, excuse me, they had their tournament at Atchafalaya right there in Patterson. And shooting an unbelievable 4 under par 68, Tom Grimsley was plus 8 on his points. What a great score for an amateur on a difficult golf course like Atchafalaya. So congratulations to Tom Grimsley, winning the first flight by a large, large margin. Looks like about 6 shots here. Okay, and the second flight was a tie. Eddie Viator and Mike Giovinazzo were plus 5. And then in the senior flight, Danny Segura plus 7 won the senior fight for the Gator Golf Club. Their next event will be April 10th. That's a Saturday at Beaver Creek in Zachary, one of my favorite municipal golf courses. It's always in good shape, and it's just a great layout. And also at Sugar Oaks, Mark Amis, the president of the MGA, along with Vice President Robert Burton, and they're urging you to, if you're a member of Sugar Oaks, to get your dues paid for the year, $20 for the year for the MGA, Men's Golf Association. And the reason the deadline is in 2 weeks, March 31st, is because in April they have a crawfish boil, and it's free to members. So that pays for your dues right there for the year, and then you're eligible to play in all of their selected events throughout the course of the year. And then if you're looking for a place to play, you're not a member anywhere, man, you got to try out Sugar Oaks. Bard was just in here, and we were talking about how beautiful the greens are at Sugar Oaks. I went out there Friday and Sunday and Saturday as well to hit balls, my traditional thing to do. Hit a bag of practice balls, practiced for about an hour, and I was walking across the putting green and just admiring how beautiful that grass was. So congratulations to the maintenance crew out there, Neil, D'Artes, and all those who work out there with him for doing such a great job on that golf course. But, like we said, what a discount you can get there for playing. It's the most inexpensive golf course you can play in our area. $22 is their lowest fee, and it only goes up to like $36 during the high time on the weekends. All right. Let's see. Cane Row. What's going on at Cane Row? Well, a lot. They're fixing to tear up their driving range. You know, people know that Cane Row years ago was Squirrel Run, built there in 1986. They opened up. We opened up. In fact, I was the first golf pro there. And it's built on top of a dump, which was the old New Iberia dump there. And so over the course of the years, it sunk where the driving range was. And that old blackjack doesn't do so good. It just, when you hit your ball and it's wet, it just sticks and you lose the golf ball. So make a long story short, Hugh Andre is going to redo the driving range, turtleback it with some fresh soil and grow some nice grass so that it won't have to be closed so often when it rains and it'll drain well. Then they're having a high school golf match at Cane Row as well. Same time they have one at Eagle Ridge, St. Patrick's Day. So the teams playing there, high school teams playing 9 holes at Cane Row, will be North Vermilion, Delcombe, Notre Dame, and Hathaway. If you want to see some young kids, the future of the game, go out there and watch a little high school golf. Social distancing at its best when you watch golf. All right, also at Cane Row, they announced their annual membership. So their dues are $142 a month if you're a single member. Annually, it's like $1,600. So you can join for the month or annually. And, of course, if you join and you're a member there, you got all kind of benefits. You're able to book your tee time a week in advance. You can book it online, in person, or on the phone. And then on that website, it's a pretty cool thing. They have their monthly calendar of events, tournaments, activities, special events, social events. They even have their menu of their specials and more from their food truck. And then if you're a member, you get discount on all that merchandise, and they have a well-stocked pro shop. And right now they're offering 20% off of all shirts, shorts, hats, and visors. And I noticed in there some Greg Norman golf shirts, some really pretty ones, for only $50. So if you're a member, you get an extra discount on that. And some hole-in-ones at Cane Row over the last couple of months. Tony Touchette, Mike Wilcox, and Caleb Arsenault. And then here's a cool thing if you're a member and you like to chart your handicap. The Louisiana Golf Association, which Cane Row is a member of, has their handicap system in place there. It's a little kiosk that kind of like a credit card thing where you post your scores as you play. And it has a program which computes your handicap for you on a monthly basis. And that's available to Cane Row members only. And then the Acadiana Pro-Am was held at Cane Row recently, a couple of weeks ago, because of Dawn's idea of having you can play more than one day. You can play, like, the first week, you can play on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or Thursday. And it's increased our membership, as I've been saying over the last few months. 130 players teed it up in the Pro-Am. And then first place went to Michael Landry, Kyle Mesh, Chris Viator, and Dan Hidalgo. They were +8 and $155. And that money is redeemable at golfballs.com. What a great thing with all the merchandise and choices you have over there. Second place, Kevin Arsenault, who works the golf shop there on Saturdays and is now a new resident of Squirrel Run. They still call it Squirrel Run Subdivision, but it's Cane Row Golf Course. Anyway, Kevin won second place, or leaded the team that won second place, along with Alvin Bergeron, Ryan Biard, and Bo Provo. They were +4, winning $112. And then third place, also +4, was Mike Grisby, Dan Hanchin, Jody Menard, and Scott Norris, and they won $63. The low individual players, the low A player was Jason Hebert, +7. Low B player, Barry Bollner, +2. Low C player, Mike Grisby, +6. He led his team there. It's a third place finish. And the low D player was George Biard, +7. And that's Doug Biard's uncle, and Doug was a low pro. Next tournament for the Acadiana Pro-Am will be at Southern Oaks in Abbeville, and you can play either April 6th, which is a Tuesday, or April 8th, which is a Thursday. Once again, the weather should be nice as we enter spring now. As I mentioned at the top there, this is an important week for golf tournaments here in our community. Louisiana Classics going on right now. The Chittimachi Louisiana Open coming up this week, and then on the national scene, the TPC, which we'll talk about in the next segment at Sawgrass, was played. And they celebrated 40 years at the TPC, and we'll talk a little bit about Pete and Alice Dye, who designed that golf course. But at the Louisiana Classics, I just checked the internet out. This Sunday, they had a practice round, and the unusual thing is they usually have a college am where sponsors pick a team. And they usually have a team from year to year that they sponsor. And they usually cook for them during the week. Some of them stay at their homes or whatever if they have a large enough area. anyway, they take care of the teams for the whole week. Well, they couldn't have that this year, the college am, because of the COVID deal. So the supporters cooked anyway for the practice round for the players, which was a pretty nice deal. And then this morning they had an 8 o'clock shotgun start. They're going to play 36 holes today. And the Cajuns were paired with Illinois and Michigan. And the last time I checked, which was probably 20 minutes ago, Illinois was leading at minus 11, but the Raging Cajuns were minus 5 and in second place. So they're playing real well, holding up their own through 13 holes on the second 18. And leading the Cajuns was Peter Hennett. He's only a junior, minus 5. There's no seniors on the Cajun golf team, so their future really looks bright. Peter was minus 5. At minus 3 was Hudson Dubinsky. He's a sophomore. And then sophomores Charlie Flynn and Bjorn Gunderson were plus 4. And junior Hunter Hammett was plus 6. So if some of those pluses can get down a little bit, they ought to be in contention all the way through tomorrow's round. And by the way, tomorrow, yours truly was invited to be a starter for the tournament. Since I'm a PGA golf professional, I can get out there and start the back nine off with the players and then be a rules official through the course of the morning. And that ought to be fun. Definitely look forward to that, helping out my son with his golf tournament. Then LSU, the LSU Tigers are in Auburn. And they're playing in the Tiger Invitational, sponsored by Jason Duffner, PGA Golf Touring Pro, is alumni of Auburn Tigers. And same time I looked up UL scores on GolfStat, the Auburn Tigers were leading. Their 16th-ranked Auburn Tigers were leading at 19-under. LSU Tigers, 24th-ranked LSU Tigers, was 7th place at minus 9. The tournament ends on St. Patrick's Day Wednesday, and leading the Tigers was Garrett Barber at minus 6. Seems like the LSU women golfers are doing better than the men this year. For whatever reason, of course, they're led by a girl named Lindblad. She's from Sweden. And sophomore Ingrid Lindblad is one of three sections announced Wednesday for the honor selections. One of three selections announced Wednesday for the Arnold Palmer Cup, a Ryder Cup style competition for the women golfers. And she's a native of Sweden. And she's the world's number 5th ranked player. She's got pro written all over her name. She's going to be a great professional when she turns pro. The Arnold Palmer Cup will be played June 11th through 13th at Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, Illinois. Lindblad is also accepted a second invitation to play in this. Get this one. This is a big one. The Augusta National Women's Amateur. It's the second one. Of course, COVID knocked out the second one last year. But they're inviting all the girls that were invited last year and this year as well. And so she's going to go play in that. She's also up for the Annika Sorensen Award, which is the Outstanding College Golfer. She's one of three golfers that in contention there. So it looks like the lady also on that team is sophomore Lana Stone, and she's right behind Lindblad in scoring average. So good luck to the Tigers ladies as they move forward. And we got some new news here. Lafayette Men's Senior Golf Association. It's an association run by Mr. Lawson Rooley, and it's for seniors 50 years and older. You know, you don't have to be a Lafayette member. You just have to play out there periodically. They play twice a month, and the dues are only $25. Their first day of the month, they play in Lafayette, and then they play the second one of the month at a club outside of Lafayette. So that's pretty cool. That $25 is a crawfish ball in the spring and a Christmas party in December. And it's a handicap, kind of like our pro-am, where you get a point for a bogey, 2 points for par, and 3 points for birdies. And the club, like we said, plays twice a month on Tuesdays. And that last one was played out at Cane Row, right here in New Iberia. 29 members teed it up in that event, and the winners were Steve Newman and Sanford Swear. They were plus 9. Second place went to Tony Romero and Steve Newman, plus 8. In third place, Woody LaMare and Jay Frederick, plus 2. I was in the store shopping this week, and Woody and I were talking. I saw Woody, and I suggested he give this to Lawson Rulies, because he's the president of their association, and we're getting this information. So we look forward to reporting on Lafayette Men's Golf Senior Golf Association. Their April tournament is scheduled for Greystone Golf Club in Denham Springs, and the tournament is a fourth Tuesday and March 23rd. Club tournament is held at ABAB Municipal Golf Course in Lafayette, their home course. So good stuff there. All right, and then the Gulf States PGA, which I'm a member of. Congratulations to my compadre and fellow friend, Mr. Charlie Dugas, celebrating 50 years as a PGA golf pro. And then my other friend down up in Alexandria at Oak Wing Golf Course, Mr. Robbie Garinger. He was not only named PGA Professional of the Year, the highest honor in our association, but he teamed up with Gavin Vegas to win the Gulf States PGA Senior Junior Tournament. They shot 9 under par 69 at the Oaks Golf Course in Pass Christiane. Like I said, Oak Wing is the place where Mr. Garinger is the pro. And then on the junior golf scene, congratulations to my little grandson, Drew. He's playing some good golf. He teamed up with Thomas Oob and played at Squire Creek a couple of weeks ago. And Squire Creek is a home course of Sam Burns. We all know Sam Burns, a former LSU player, who a couple of weeks ago was leading the Los Angeles Open and had a huge lead, and then got kind of messed up with the wind and stuff, and his tee time got screwed up. So he had to, anyway, Sam didn't. He finished third in the tournament he was leading. But he did a great clinic for the kids at Squire Creek. And he was a humble, genuine guy, you can tell. And he's only like 24 years old. But winning the tournament was Eli Artigo. He's a UL commitment, signed up with the Cajuns, a national letter of intent. So he'll be contributing next year, hopefully, along with Jay Mendel, another outstanding young player from Lafayette. Hopefully the Cajuns can get him as well. They won in a playoff against the team of Lou Haskew from Baton Rouge, along with his teammate Holden Webb from Shreveport. And they were minus 10 under par. Well, that ought to clean up our local stuff. And anxious to get talking about the Tournament Players Championship held at Ponte Vedra Beach, right there at Sawgrass. And got a lot of stories about that because way back when I was a youngster in my 30s, me and a group of guys used to travel down there to play when they first opened it up in 1980. And we had some fun times. Good reminiscing on that. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that and much more in a little bit.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy. Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Penny Lane, 4 to 6 weekdays on New Iberia's home for the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane 107.5.
And we're back. Teddy Sliman with you here. Studios of Kane Radio, AM 1240 and FM 107.5. We're talking golf. Went over the local golf for sure. Now we get into the national golf scene where the season is officially kicked off. The golf season of the PGA Tour, as they had the Tournament Players Championship. 48 of the top 50 golfers on the PGA Tour competed in that event. It's Ponte Verde Beach and just outside of Jacksonville, Florida. The course celebrated 40 years. It was built in 1980 and opened up in 81. And Pete Dye, the famous golf course architect, was the designer. And he definitely went out of the box in designing this golf course. It was not your traditional design from the old-time architects. He did a lot of weird things with bulkheading and water hazards right up against the greens and having to carry water. You know, the old-time golf courses didn't have a whole lot of water. And they always had an entrance, an opening to the green where you could run the ball up. And nowadays, that's totally different. There's huge bunkers or sand traps, and a lot of courses put water. And Pete Dye was the innovator of all that, putting water right in front of your approach shots. But the most famous hole on the golf course, of course, is the number 17. It's a very short 130-yard par 3. But it's an island green, and that's what makes it so unique. And the green is basically flat, so you don't get a real good depth perception when you tee off on the tee box, and it's daunting. If you ever get intimidated by a golf shot, that would be it. And by the way, just a little footnote here, Pete Dye's wife, Alice, is actually the one who designed that hole. They were deliberating about what to do to make it unique and different and blah, blah, blah. And they were sitting over lunch one day with some of the other architects or workers or whatever. And she drew on a napkin, you know, the island green. And Pete Dye went with it, and so did the supporters. So that's the other side of the story. Alice Dye gets all the credit for Pete Dye's infamous number 17 island hole. Here's a little local story. Like I told you at the beginning of the break, me and a bunch of guys, well, seven guys usually, we went three or four times on the East Coast and played Sawgrass, TPC, and all the other courses along the East Coast. But one of the funniest stories, Jerome Webb, a close friend of mine, came with us a bunch of times. And on this certain trip, we got to play 36 holes at Sawgrass, TPC, and in the morning round, I was paired with Jerome, and all he wanted to do is hit the green. That was his goal. And so when we get up to 17, he hits his first shot, bloop, in the water. It's his next shot. That the first shot was short, the next shot short again. He picks another club, bloop, hits over the green, so we have to pick up and go. And so in the afternoon round, as we're playing, all Jerome can think about, he's so nervous and worried about, I got to hit the 17th green. Sure enough, he hits it on his first shot, and then he's so excited, when he gets up there to putt, he putted it too hard, and the ball went off the green into the water. Funny story. I still rag Jerome about it. And, you know, he loved that hole so much. Jerome's a painter, right? And Plain Air is going to be this week, I think, that he hosts that. But he painted that 17th hole, and I'm not sure. I'm sure he still has it somewhere. But anyway, that's the story. I could tell you stories all day long about our trips there because we had some great times. But back to the action. The winner of that tournament was Justin Thomas, former Alabama golfer. He's probably 24 or so years old. Lee Westwood finished second for the second week in a row, and Lee is probably twice the age of Justin Thomas, which is an incredible feat when a guy his age can compete from the same tee boxes, under the same course, the same conditions as a youngster like that who hits the ball probably twice as far as he does, not literally, but at any rate, Justin Thomas shot 274, Lee Westwood 275, and Lee by one shot finished for the second week in a row at 48 years old, finished runner-up. And this is like a resurgence for him. Lee Westwood is from England, and he would have been, I think, the only English player to ever win the TPC. But Justin Thomas had such a great weekend, 64-68. He barely made the cut at 142 to make it into the weekend, and then he caught on fire, 64-68. Bryson DeChambeau, the guy that hits it a mile, right? He tied for fourth with Brian Harman. Bryson's still number one in the FedEx Cup points, but Brian Harman, who's been off the charts for a while, yeah, he's a lefty. He showed positive signs of resurgence. So 276 was their score. And then in fifth place, Paul Casey. And get this, on that infamous 17th hole on Thursday, the first round, he hit two balls in the water and made a seven, a triple bogey seven. He didn't give up. He came back and played the last 59 holes in 13 under par. So remarkable to the tenacity of Paul Casey. He tied Taylor Gooch for fifth place. And then speaking of the 17th hole, they celebrated 20 years of that big famous putt that Tiger Woods made. It must have broke like 20 feet. And the announcer said, better than most, better than most. And boom, the ball goes in. They show that over and over again. People got tired of looking at it, but It's a pretty cool putt that Tiger made in his reaction after. Two Australians, Adam Scott made three twos on number 17 this week, and his fellow Australian, Cameron Percy, made the longest putt on number 17 at 55 feet. And here's the stats I like. Balls in the water. Of course, we know Paul Casey had two of them in on Thursday, right? 35 balls were put in the water on Thursday. Thursday alone. More than the whole ensuing week of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 13 on Friday, 8 on Saturday, and 10 on Sunday were put in the water off that tee. So a total of 66. Crazy stuff. And you can see in the gallery a hero, especially in Florida, Coach Urban Meyer's. The new Jacksonville Jags coach was seen in the gallery. And of course, we know he coached the University of Florida right there in Gainesville and played quite a few rounds with his star player, Tim Tebow, at TPC. Justin Thomas, he almost did something that hadn't been done since 1983, excuse me, at the TPC. That's hit all 18 greens in regulation. His shot approach to the 18th green came up just inches short, woefully. And then the big news about Bryson and Lee, they were paired together, you see, because Lee was leading by one shot over Bryson DeChambeau going into the final round, so they were paired together. And the score remained the same. They were even par going to the fourth hole, which is a short par four. You have to hit it over water. And but it's a short hole and the green's narrow, so the trouble really comes on your approach shot, which is not a long shot. But at any rate, they both of them exploded on that hole. Bryson topped his tee shot into the water. He took a drop and took out his utility four iron. And when he hit the ball went boom, caromed off to the right into the woods, and he broke the head of the drive of the four iron. And so he was like shocked at what happened here. He had to struggle after taking the penalty shot and the top tee shot. He had to struggle and made a 7-foot putt for a double bogey. And then Lee, not to be outdone with the poor play, he sliced his tee shot into the water, but he got a favorable drop because his shot went further up the fairway there. And he ended up making a bogey. So they look like two 18 handicappers playing that hole. But it's good for a golfer to see professional golfers mess up a little bit. It makes you feel kind of like human. All right. Getting back to Lee Westwood, I said he would have been the first Englishman to win the tournament and definitely the oldest at 48 years old. He's going to Augusta National, of course, and this is really cool. Today and tomorrow, he's playing a practice round with his son, Sam, who is going to eventually caddy for him in the tournament. It's going to be Lee Westwood's 20th start in the Masters, and what a treat to have Sam, his son, on the bag as his caddy. But look who he had at the TPC, Helen Story. She's not only his fiance and caddy, she's his psychologist as well. And I heard the commentator saying on the TV that nowadays with yardage books and stuff like that, the caddies play a big role telling the player how far he is, how much yardage he has to the left, right, in front of the green, how far to carry the water, blah, blah, blah. Well, Lee Westwood went old school. He did that all himself. He looked at his own yardage book. Didn't have, she didn't contribute at all in the sense that a caddy would. So good stuff there. Good to see a female caddy for her loved one. And then this marked the eighth time ever on Thursday's round. Tyler and Mark McCumber were paired together. That's a father-son pairing, and Mark won the 1988. Championship. He has 10 wins on the PGA Tour, but he's the 1988 TPC champion. And he was 3 years old when Tyler was 3 years old and born when he won the tournament. And they're Jacksonville residents presently. Okay, coming up next week on the PGA Tour, it's going to be the Honda Classic. And that's the infamous bear trap that begins on hole number 15, 15, 16, and 17. Water guards those holes like we talked about a little bit earlier. Architects have brought in a lot of water into play on golf course design. And Jack Nicklaus designed this course. It's called the Champion Course at PGA National. And it's going to be an interesting tournament. It's one of the most popular tournaments. And the Honda Classic renamed its media center there after Hall of Fame journalist Tim Rosefort. Just a little side note there. So we look forward to watching the Honda Classic as the Florida Swing is in full swing. And, of course, the next big tournament coming up for the players, major tournament, will be the Masters, Augusta National. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. Let's get on to the European Tour. A guy named Antonio Rosner. He had a putt of a lifetime. He holed a 60-foot birdie putt on the final hole Sunday for a 2-under par 69 and a one-shot victory in the Qatar Masters. Sometimes you think it's just fate, you know, when you do something like that. The odds of sinking a 60-foot putt under those circumstances and conditions are, I can't even imagine what it is. Well, the guy that finished second and was a melee of that was Guido Migliozzo. I butchered that name, but heck, they're foreigners. I don't know their names. But anyway, Rosner moved up into the world rankings, into the top 50, and he's now eligible for the World Golf Championship coming up in a couple of weeks in Texas. And just before we take a break, some short notes here. Dustin Johnson noted that he will not be playing in the Summer Olympics in Tokyo this coming summer, July 29th through August 1st. He said it's too hard on his schedule. The British Open ends a week and a half before, and there's a lot of travel involved in all of that. And that wears out those professional players. They have not only have to be physically ready, but mentally as well to play their best golf. At any rate, Justin Rose won the Olympics when they reintroduced it to golf after over 200 years. 2 years ago, Justin Rose won it. Continuing with short notes here from the Masters. Unfortunately, there'll be no par 3 tournament at the Masters this year. As we know, last year the Masters was the first major that got pushed aside because of the coronavirus. Then they decided to have it in November for the first time ever. So this is going to be the first time Masters has been back-to-back. But at any rate, they're not having the par 3 tournament for the second year. And that's usually a fun tournament. I can remember a couple of years ago, the last time they had it, it's a fun thing. Jack Nicklaus was playing, and his grandson, Gary, was caddying for him. So on one of the holes, he said, "Gary, why don't you hit this shot for me?" Because it's really laid back. It's not a tournament. It's just like a fun deal. And so the young man, the little boy, his grandson hits the shot. I'm not sure how old he was. Don't you know he makes a hole-in-one, and everybody just went ecstatic. So no par 3 tournament, unfortunately, at the Masters this year. But they're going to have the Augusta National Women's Golf Tournament. That's still on. And the drive, chip, and putt contest for the young kids, that'll still be on Sunday before the Masters. And then ESPN, we mentioned earlier, November Masters that was held where Dustin Johnson won. ESPN is going to air a half an hour featured documentary on the Masters in November. All the things they had to do to prepare for it. No spectators. It was kind of weird watching it, I know, but it won't be that way this year because they're going to allow a certain number of patrons to attend, and that'll bring some of the buzz and excitement back to the golf tournament. Not that it needs it, but when you're watching it on TV, you need it. And other notes here, Gary Woodland and Scott Piercy won't be playing in the Honda Classic. Yep, they're victims of the COVID-19 coronavirus, and they are both four-time winners on the PGA Tour. They had to withdraw from the Honda. And also continuing with their short notes here, still the most beloved figure in golf, or one of the most beloved, is Payne Stewart, who passed away in 1999, a weird plane crash that ended up in the Atlantic Ocean. So it's been 21 years since that plane crash, and they had a golf auction on some of his memorabilia. So he won the 1999 U.S. Open at Pinehurst, and they have a player's badge. That badge auctioned off for $37,000. That's unbelievable. And then anybody who followed golf back then, Payne Stewart was Mr. GQ. He dressed up with a Ben Hogan style cap, and he had Argyle socks, and he wore knickers, and he always dressed like. Sometimes he dressed the part. If he was playing in Los Angeles, he would dress the part of the Los Angeles Rams, or if he was playing in a hometown of somewhere, some professional team, he'd dress up like them. And his socks, Argyle socks that he wore in St. Andrews in the British Open, went for $3,215. They started the auction out at $50, and it went all the way up to that. Man, that's crazy stuff. Who would pay that just for a pair of stinky old socks? And then Tiger News, they're always on Tiger. The whole media's always, he's like under a microscope, poor dude. Of course, we all know he had an almost life-ending tragic single-car accident in Los Angeles right after the Los Angeles Open. couple of 3 weeks ago. Forensics, those doing the forensics think that he is getting favorable treatment from the sheriff's department because of the accident, but I don't know. And the reason for that is Tiger doesn't remember the crash, and he doesn't even remember driving, you know. And he's had problems with narcotic drugs that helped him with his pain because of his back. We all know he fell asleep at the wheel in that crash several years ago and was charged with DUI, driving under the influence. But we wish Tiger the best. He's a great icon player, obviously, and hopefully he'll be coming home soon, and he'll be in a rehab hospital in Florida. And I know his fellow competitors wish him well. Then last week on the PGA Tour, that was a milestone. Two players went over the $10 million mark, which means they surpassed $10 million in career earnings. Playing in the World Golf Championship was Tommy Fleetwood. And then playing on the Puerto Rican opposite field tournament, Puerto Rican Open, was Brandon Grace. And they both became the 199th and 200th player to surpass $10 million. Just depends which one cashed their check first or second, you know, or passed through the bank how they ranked. Fleetwood only won $765, while Brandon Grace won the first place in the tournament, won $448,000. Let's see here. We'll end with this for now. In Europe, due to travel restrictions because of the coronavirus, in Spain, France, and Portugal, the European Tour is considering making an unprecedented first-time entry into American soil and playing their tournaments here in the United States of America. The tournaments might be in Florida in April after the Masters. They're still reviewing that. And the three tournaments are the Tenerife Open, the Gran Canaria Lopez Open, and the Portugal Masters. I'll butcher those words, but that's okay. All right, we'll clear our final break, and then we'll wrap it up with some tidbit news right here on Chip Shots. Stay tuned.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola. And the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 107.5.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it
And welcome back to the final segment of Chip Shots, Kane Radio's Golf Talk Show. Of course, I'm Teddy Slim, and sitting with you here. And if you've been tuned in to the entire show, you notice that my friend and compadre, Ralph Boxcar Bergeron, not only is not with us, he didn't call in today. And I'm going to give him a pass, a yard pass for that, because he was gracious enough to cook food for me and my wife, Anita, last night, some great fish and boiled corn. My wife had an accident. She tripped, fell, and had to have surgery on her elbow. And, of course, not doing any cooking, so it saved me a little bit of a headache. So thank you, Boxcar. Hope you can get back with us soon here on Chip Shots, for sure. We miss you. All right, well, here's a topic that Ralph and I could talk about for sure when he returns. The USGA, the governing body here in the United States, and the RNA, the governing body in Europe, they're thinking of changing the rules to amateur status, which they're amateur associate. They run the amateur golf. The professional golf is run by a totally different organization right here in the United States. It's the PGA Tour, right? PGA Tour runs the golf pros tournaments in their organization. And the RNA runs the amateur side in Scotland and England and Ireland. But anyway, they're collaborating together to think about changing the rules to help improve golf for the amateurs. And first one they're thinking about changing is eliminate all sponsorship restrictions. In other words, an amateur can't have any sponsors or promote any sponsors, and they can't get paid for it. But what are they thinking about changing that? Which would mean they could collect a little money for, you know, putting on their shirt, blah, 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 and blah, 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 paying for it. All right. And secondly, there's no restrictions on benefits from name, image, or likeness. And we know that the NCAA is doing the same thing with particularly football players, help letting them promote themselves and accept money for a company using their name, image, or likeness. And so the amateur golf scene's following in that suit. And the third thing is eliminate distinction between cash and other forms of prizes. You know, an amateur can win a maximum of $750 in a golf tournament, and it's usually not prize money, but it's in the form of prizes. Like we announced for the Pro-Am, you get prizes that you can go redeem at golfballs.com, but they're thinking about changing that. Not the $750, but to win cash, which I don't think is a great idea, but anyway, that's for discussion. Maybe one day me and Boxcar get in a tit-a-tat with that. Then the fourth thing, they're trying to accomplish is reduce the wait time for reinstatement. A lot of players who are good players turn pro right off the bat, and then they find out they're not good enough to hack it, so they want to come back and play in amateur tournaments because they're good players. Well, it takes a long waiting period, and, you know, they're trying to speed that process up. But I think, you know, amateurs shouldn't be able to give lessons and collect money for it. That should be reserved for club pros and qualified PGA pros. That's what we go to school for, you know. To become a PGA golf professional, you work as an apprentice for 40 months. That's 3+ years, right? And through the course of that time, you go through rigorous testing. When I was doing it back in the late 70s, you went to 2 PGA schools where you spent a whole week and they discussed every facet of golf imaginable, from rules to club repair to merchandising to golf course safety, etiquette, oh, the whole gamut of running a golf club. So, and then you get your Class A PGA membership and you become, you know, a PGA golf professional. I think that's still a good idea to consider that. Okay, and like we said earlier, the Augusta National Women's Amateur is going to be played. Once again, it was canceled in 2020 because of COVID, and extended the invitation from 2020, so they're going to have a larger field than they normally would. 85 confirmed as of presently, March 31st through April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 54-hole tournament. The first two rounds will be played at the Champions Retreat Golf Club in Augusta, and then the cut to be will be made to the 30 players, and then they'll have a practice round for the girls on April the 2nd with the final round on April the 3rd. And NBC will broadcast the final round. And that's interesting to have golf, Lady Golf at Augusta National. You know, they had problems years ago when, anyway, the ladies protested. It was a total mess. But Augusta National prevailed. And they went on and held their tournament. And no qualms there. All right, well, that ought about wrap it up for me. We wish everybody well. You know, today is the Ides of March at 2 Brute, so be careful no one comes up from behind you and stabs you. And, of course, Wednesday is St. Patrick's Day. We look forward to wearing green and drinking a Guinness, for sure. I will drink a Guinness or two on St. Patrick's Day. So you guys have a good evening, and thanks for tuning in. We got Louisiana Network News up next.